Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Gail Collins on The Year of Politicians Living Adulterously, and worse, Jeffrey Toobin on Madoff and the Mets. Can music really help heal the body from disease? Does growing up in the city better prepare you for life? And Brooke Gladstone on narrative bias in the news media, how we want to tell a good story with a beginning, a middle, and an end, even if the story doesn't have one. Have you heard any good Egypt stories lately? All coming up this morning. Gail Collins first in 60 seconds after a very quick reminder that we are in our spring membership drive, everybody, and we humbly request that everyone who listens to us on a regular basis make a once-a-year contribution to help run the radio station. This is our second of three membership drive weeks this year, and we hope many of you will do a good deed right here in the middle now. Get it out of the way. Make your tax-deductible donation for 2011, and we really, really appreciate it. Thanks for considering it. Visit our website at WNYC.org or call our pledge line, 1-888-376-WNYC, 1-888-376-9692. Again, thanks a lot for considering it. Your support helps keep us strong no matter what blows in the economic or political winds. 1-888-376-WNYC, 1-888-376-9692, or online at WNYC.org, and thanks. Well, New York Times columnist Gail Collins is my first guest today. She has been on total fire this year, with columns like the one last Wednesday called The Year of Living Adulterously, and her series called The Presidential Primary Book Club, or as she offers it to us, Reading the Books by Mitt Romney, Tim Pawlenty, and Newt Gingrich So You Don't Have To. So the last week, I guess, has been especially enlivening for Gail Collins readers with the Arnold Schwarzenegger, John Ensign, and Chris Lee sex scandals all in the news, and with Gingrich and Pawlenty officially entering the presidential race. Personally, I'm especially excited this morning because we will get to hear Gail's reaction to the Bob Schieffer-Newt Gingrich exchange on Newt's $250,000 to $500,000 Tiffany's bill before she even writes about it in the New York Times. Hi, Gail. Welcome back to WNYC.
Good to be here.
And we'll get to the Gingrich-Tiffany's clip in due time. But let's start with this Year of Living Adulterously, Colin. The Democrats are no slouches in this arena, as you know, with John Edwards, Bill Clinton, and whole branches of the Kennedy family tree. But you see the GOP lately is putting a peculiar newsworthy spin on illicit sex. What is this Republican variety?
It's very layered. You know, there's just not one thing. There's like, you know, Newt Gingrich is not that Newt Gingrich is on his third wife. It's that Newt Gingrich is on his third wife, and this is the wife he was having an affair with when she worked for the House of Representatives, when he was trying to impeach Bill Clinton for Monica Lewinsky, and he's also got this $500,000 Tiffany bill, and there you are. So it just goes on and on and on. It's not like one, you know, did he or didn't he? It just goes on and on and on.
So you write, a married congressman hunting for babes is bad. A married congressman hunting for babes by posting half-naked photos of himself is Republican. That was Chris Lee from upstate New York.
And we miss him.
And they're electing a replacement to him tomorrow in New York 26. A married governor who fathers an illegitimate child is awful. A married governor who fathers an illegitimate child by a staff member of the family home and then fails to mention it to his wife for more than 10 years is Republican. That was Schwarzenegger.
Right. Also, Carl Palladino had a thing when he was running. There's something about Republican
that.
Governor candidates, maybe. I don't know.
Yeah. And are you just, you know, playing about the Republicanness of it?
No, I mean, well, the Republicans are what's in play right now. You don't have, you know, sort of a great scramble within the Democratic Party for, you know, posts and stuff. They're kind of on a different level right now. Certainly Democrats are capable of working things up to this level, but I do think being sort of the party of family values complicates things more. You know, the fact that John Ensign was going to his prayer group to discuss what to do about the adulterous relationship he had with his chief aide's wife, who was also working for him, it was put a new layer again on it.
And I guess we've therefore found the one institution in Washington that does not leak to the news media, the Congressional Prayer Group.
Prayer group. You're right. They're good that way.
The big campaign news yesterday was Indiana Governor Mitch Daniels, considered a serious contender if he wanted to be, announcing he is not running. His unusual marital history is that his wife left him and his four children to run off with another man, then came back, and they remarried 3 years later, which doesn't reflect badly at all on him.
No.
But did you see the quote from his announcement yesterday? It said, quote, "Our family constitution gives a veto to the Women's Caucus, and there is no override provision." So,
that's a very elegant way of saying my wife refused to let me do it. I mean,
yes. And that's a lot of power to give the formerly adulterous wife.
Well, I'd like to, you know, the thing about the wife thing is I don't think that anybody would have held it against him. That his, I mean, he, as you said, made him look, you know, fine. And I think she could have avoided, you know, the public eye if she chose not to campaign. This is the same thing we went through with the Sarah Palin children. You know, the media will respect certain family boundaries as long as you respect the boundaries, as long as the wife doesn't campaign, doesn't do introductions to her husband at big Indiana events, as Mrs. Daniels did last week. You know, I mean, there's a way to control this stuff, but it has to involve self-control on both sides, not just the media's.
New York Times columnist Gail Collins. In an online chat you had with David Brooks, you mentioned another thing that I think is really important and kind of getting lost in a lot of the media, the very bright line between politicians who have sex out of wedlock and Dominique Strauss-Kahn, who, if the charges are true, grabbed an innocent woman who just came to do the cleaning and sexually assaulted her.
Yes, good Lord. There's a total difference. I mean, that's not speakable. I mean, there's no discussion about how we feel about stuff like that. We don't just talk about, you know, considering the wife's problems or anything else. That's just appalling. And my Lord, this man never seemed to stop. I mean, perhaps it's all lies. Perhaps that's not true. But the reports that are coming out about me just sort of, I'm amazed he had enough time to try to bail out Greece. Good Lord.
Do you think, though, that the line isn't being reported on as bright enough? I personally don't think it is. I think we've seen any number of articles since the DSK arrest on how, you know, the French are more laid back about affairs than Americans, almost neglecting that this wasn't an affair,
right,
but an alleged violent crime.
The whole French thing about the, well, when the French take about it, it seems to be not that it was okay if it was a guy who was famous to, you know, beat up some woman and throw her on the bed, but that this was all made up by political enemies or something like that, which is also bizarre and strange. And just this poor woman from Africa coming in to turn down the sheets and, you know, suddenly is now part of this great cosmic international conspiracy is laughable in the extreme.
On the Sarkozy payroll to induce the attack.
You know, you always think that the enemy is cleverer than the enemy is in these cases.
Right, but never underestimate somebody's ability to outsmart themselves.
This is so true. But this one was just beyond belief. Gosh.
All right. I promised everyone the Gail Collins exclusive response to the Gingrich exchange with Bob Schieffer on Gingrich's $250,000 to $500,000 jewelry debt at Tiffany's. Here is about a minute of that exchange from yesday's Face the Nation.
Did you owe $500,000 to a jewelry company at one point?
We had a revolving fund.
Well, what does that mean?
It means that we had a revolving fund. That it was an interest rate account.
I mean, who buys $500,000 worth of jewelry on credit?
No, go talk to Tiffany's. It's a standard, no interest account.
How long did you owe it?
I have no idea, but it was paid off automatically. We paid no interest on it. There was no problem with it. It's a normal way of doing business.
Well, I mean. It's very odd to me that someone would run up $500,000 bill at a jewelry store.
Go talk to Tiffany's. All I'm telling you is we are very frugal. We, in fact, live within our budget. We owe nothing.
What did you buy?
We owe nothing. Well, it's my private life.
Well, I understand.
I understand. I'm just suggesting.
I mean, you're running for president.
Right.
You're going to be the guy in charge of the Treasury Department, and it just sticks out like a sore thumb.
I'm a guy running for president who pays all of his bills and after-tax income at no cost to the taxpayer, and who currently owes nothing except one rental property in Wisconsin. I am debt-free.
Gingrich and Bob Schieffer on Face the Nation and Gail Collins. If it was on Stephen Colbert, I would easily have believed that whole exchange was fake.
You know, once again, you have a situation in which the poor Newt Gingrich is dragged on to a sophisticated Sunday morning talk show and tricked into saying things that he didn't actually mean to say. This man is a victim.
Like last week on Meet the Press?
Yes, last week on Meet the Press.
When he said that the Ryan Medicare plan was right-wing social engineering and then took it back?
And then when he said that anybody who quoted from that was going to be lying.
He did not answer the question, what jewelry did you buy for $500,000? Someone could go to Tiffany's just to see what the options are.
And we are very frugal people. I think we'll go down in American history.
Yes.
One of the new great quotes. Yeah, I mean, Newt, I'm really enjoying the Newt Gingrich thing, but we've long since passed the point at which this was anything but a sideshow.
Do you think, in all seriousness, that it's relevant or should be reported on as relevant to the voters what kind of jewelry a candidate buys or how much with his own money? After all, as you point out in your writing, American voters tend not to care about anyone's lawful private life if the candidate agrees with our policies.
This is true. What does really work against you is if the people have some suspicion about a problem about you to begin with, and then suddenly all this stuff from your private life. That happened way long time ago with Gary Hart, you know, who was a very strong candidate for president, but people kind of wondered if he was a little sort of erratic and if he was not as stable in his, you know, in his private life as you'd want to be, and he just became crazier, and then it all went away. Newt Gingrich, his whole history, all of the adultery, all of the strangeness going back and forth with the different wives, it all points to a real personality disorder. He's just attention deficit driven when it comes to life. I mean, he can't focus on anything for more than 2 seconds. He's completely erratic, and nobody's going to want him to be president under any circumstances, and this all feeds into it. If he'd run an incredibly stable, calm, sedate campaign that was somber and serious, you know, maybe people would have come around and said, God, he's got a lot of good ideas, but this is the culmination of a long-burning disaster that has been Newt.
By the way, while that clip was playing and he was defending it as a revolving fund,
right.
I looked up revolving fund on Wikipedia, and it says a revolving fund is a fund or account whose income remains available to finance its continuing operations without any fiscal year limitation. And then it goes on to say revolving funds are useful funding sources for historic preservation projects. I thought you would like that.
Maybe he was buying somebody really famous's diamonds.
Maybe that's it. Gail Collins, New York Times columnist. We have a minute or so left. Let's just touch briefly on your presidential primary book club, where you read candidates' books so we don't have to. The Pawlenty, Romney, and Gingrich book titles are respectively Courage to Stand, An American Story, No Apology, The Case for American Greatness, and Gingrich is slightly more ominous, To Save America. Do you find a theme in those titles?
Well, I've just finished reading, because he's suddenly in the news so much, for my next column, Fed Up
by
Rick Perry, who is the governor of Texas, who's now sort of been thrown into the mentioning ring. There's certainly Tim Pawlenty looking better and better. His book is sort of mostly about just how he grew up, and, you know, his wife is a smoking hot woman, and, you know, he's got kids, and he walks the dog, and it looks better and better, I got to say.
Gingrich's book title, To Save America, reminds me of that old Twilight Zone episode called To Serve Man. Did you ever see that?
Yes, it was a cookbook, I know.
Yes, there you go. All right, and there we leave it with Gail Collins, New York Times columnist, among other things, continuing her presidential primary book club. Gail, thanks a lot.
Great to talk to you.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC.